Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome back to the Hoosier Huddle podcast. It has been a while since we have been with you. We hope that everybody is safe and healthy and adhering to the social distancing rules. We have as well. We know that this would have been spring game week, and we're disappointed that it's not happening. But in order to get football back in the fall, we have to take the necessary precautions for this to run its course, and hopefully everything goes back to close to normal as possible, as soon as possible. So today we're going to talk with Matt Weaver from Peaks.com. We'll have TJ Inman on as well. We're going to give you a recruiting update. IU has had four commits here in the last in the first 2 weeks here of April, and we'll talk about that. Madison Norris has hit the transfer portal. We'll talk about that a little bit as well, and we'll get to talking some football, which should be a nice reprieve for some people. Right now we're talking to TJ Inman. TJ, I hope everything's good with you. It's been a while. How's it going?
Yeah, pleasure to be talking to you. It's good to talk to somebody. I hope everybody out there, all of our listeners, are doing well and taking care of yourselves mentally and physically. It's important in this time to, if you're having a hard time mentally with the isolation that people are experiencing right now, please take care of yourself. It's not something to be taken lightly. So just wanted to get that in there, and now we will move on with providing hopefully a diversion for a short period of time. Like you said, Sammy, it's good to be talking about something as inconsequential, but also as fun and meaningful to us as football.
Yeah, and another thing, TJ, is I want to do is maybe start a happy hour weekly, call it a tailgate if you want to, a virtual hangout where, isolation can be hard and social isolation can be hard. So if there are enough people and we could get on Zoom or another platform and, talk about football, talk about life and all that stuff and make somebody's day, I'm happy and open to do that. I know I'm trying to do that on Friday for the spring game with our group, TJ, if it's possible. But we'll see. But, yeah, it's been an interesting month of April for Indiana football. They've gotten four new recruits, new commitments, and one in Cooper Jones, Larry Smith, Aaron Steinfeld, and Vinny Fiacable have all committed since April 2nd. Indiana's class is now at five. It sits 37th nationally, 11th in the Big Ten with an average star rating, according to 247 Sports, of 0.8351, which was slightly below last year's average. But again, it is only five recruits. So what is your opinion on Indiana's class so far?
I mean, I think it's a really good start. And this was important because, there were so many staff, I don't want to say defections, but changes is a good word for it. Staff changes throughout the, first couple months of the off season, and guys were hired to replace those positions either from within, in the case of Nick Sheridan, or Indiana went externally to find guys like Coach Peoples and Coach Aaron Wellman from the New York Giants. And it was, I think, important to get off to a good start in this class, just to kind of calm some uneasiness, if you will, about, where things might be momentum-wise with the program after getting to a bowl game and, having such a good season. There was a bit of a concern, I think, amongst the fan base, understandably so, that, that was our shot and now things might fall apart. But I think this has served as a really good reminder that, one, the guy at the top, he's still there. Tom Allen is still there, still running things. And, players and the fans need to still believe in this program, and players clearly do. Things are still moving in the right direction. And number two, the guys that Tom Allen has hired, they appear to know what they're doing too, because, you know, I thought it was very important that a couple of these commitments have mentioned Coach Wellman and his connections to the NFL as one of the reasons why they decided to, you know, to sign on, not sign on, but to pledge their commitment to the program. So I think that was very important from a player perspective. It was key to get in-state guys, but more importantly, key to get them at a major position of need in a position that's really hard to recruit, and that is, you know, high-profile defensive ends. Getting the first two commitments to come in the form of two really strong commitments from defensive linemen, Rodney McGraw, certainly a raw defensive end prospect that's just very athletic, incredibly high ceiling with him. And then Cooper Jones, also very athletic, a basketball player in addition to a football player at Valparaiso High School, an area that Indiana doesn't tend to get a lot of guys from. But to go get him and take both of those guys who had legitimate offers from high-end national programs, Ohio State, Michigan, Penn State, Iowa, you know, Purdue. I'm not going to call them a high-end program, but a program I use competing with for sure. To get those commitments from those programs, from Cooper Jones to Rodney McGraw, that was huge, and it was a major statement of intent that this thing is not going to fall off and fade away, that what we saw last year is going to be continuing, and to do it in a position of need like that was great. Aaron Steinfeld, local kid that felt like, of the in-state prospects, he was the most likely to join on, solid tight end, and then the offensive lineman from Fort Wayne, Bishop Dwanger, Vinny Fiacabo, his recruiting ranking, and I'm not going to profess to know much about him as a player, other than his size, his intangibles, you know, the size looks good, the intangibles in terms of his family connections to Indiana, that's always nice. And then the recruiting analysts are saying that he is going to expect, and they expect him to have a nice bump up in the rankings because of his play at the end of last season. And then Larry Smith, anytime you can get an athletic kid from Florida, a defensive back, that's a plus for me. And Larry Smith is a guy that had a 4-star ranking in a couple of the services, and it's probably going to have another bump up when 247 releases their next release. And again, good offers on the table for him that IU gets him from, and he's another tough position to recruit to. Defensive back, so especially on the defensive side of the ball, a tremendous start to the class.
Yeah, and now we bring in Matt Weaver from Pegues, who's getting a rest from his kids a little bit. Matt, how is the school of the Weavers over doing?
It's going okay. They were on spring break last week, and today they call it Monday Fun Day. They don't really have to do anything, so tomorrow they'll be back to e-learning, and hopefully it's gone well so far. But I appreciate their teachers greatly after being home with them.
they are. I know several teachers. They're working very hard to get the kiddos educated and entertained at home, and give their parents some time to work as well. But Matt, we're here talking about Indiana football. A big 2 weeks recruiting wise. Was this, you know, it's that time where, if it was normal, the spring game is coming up, how do you think IU has adjusted in this social distancing type of recruiting, that they got four players or four commitments in the last 2 weeks, and a lot of them are quality guys to come in and go to a need position?
Yeah, I mean, I think they would have had a great shot with a lot of these guys whenever they did decide under normal conditions. I think obviously what's going on has probably sped up the decision-making process for a lot of players. just because there's just obviously so much unknown, and you know, you just don't know when you're going to get to go visit or get, you know, things are going to be back to kind of the way they were, and you know, when that happens, are there still going to be spots available for you? I mean, you know, I think they would have got an Aaron Steinfeld. He moved his decision up, I think, a little bit, you know, because of what's going on, and you know, some other guys following. Cooper Jones, another guy that was kind of like that, although. You know, I thought they were on the outside looking in with him, and turned out they were obviously in great shape. So, you know, it's obviously an interesting time. You know, the commits for Indiana are a little bit earlier than normal in the process, just because Indiana is typically a school that gets started a little bit later than everybody else. And when you look at the numbers compared to some programs, they're probably still lagging behind as far as the numbers. But then again, it'll be a smaller class, so there's no rush to get 10, 12, 15 commits, you know, by May something or June 1st or whatever, because you have so few spots and plenty of time. But they've done a great job, obviously. I mean, even though they're not allowed to have these guys on campus, and nobody's been on campus for, you know, about a month now, they've obviously got six legit Power 5 Big Ten level recruits, and it's obviously off to the class is obviously off to a great start.
Yeah, the class is sitting at 5. It's 37
nationally.
Yeah, I should
have said 5. That's my bad. I think I said 6.
Four
in April. 5 commits.
Yeah, they're sitting at 5. They're 37th nationally. Where does IU go from here in the summer, especially with camps on campus canceled? The evaluation period, I think it's – correct me if I'm wrong, Matt. It's recruiting that the dead period is extended through the end of May. How is this all affecting the recruiting calendar?
Well, you know, it's so unprecedented. It's kind of – I think, you know, kind of time will tell. But obviously for a school like Indiana, you know, the month of April is an important time because, you know, basically since spring ball would have started – because this is when you get them on campus. And Indiana's a school that still recruits, and they always will, but because you don't have tons and tons of winning seasons and tons of tradition, all that kind of stuff, you know, personal relationships are so important. I always say this. It's not that they're not important with an Ohio State or a Penn State or some of the bigger programs. It's just that's the number one thing or one of the top things you're selling at Indiana. That family feel, you know, the togetherness, the closeness, and all that, and the relationships, and so when you can't get them on campus, that obviously makes it tough to sell that aspect. So, you know, for them, it's obviously a little bit of a bummer in that regard. You know, I asked Coach Allen this. I think it was when we had him on with when they introduced Wellman, and I asked if it was, you know, the one blessing for this year is that it is a smaller class. So. You know, while it hurts you, it would be obviously a lot, you know, more challenging if you had to go out there and sign, you know, 23, 24, or even a full class of 25. You know, right now on paper, they've got eight now with the departure of Madison Norris to the transfer portal. But still, that's 13 scholarships. Now, it'll be bigger than that, but it's not going to be – it should not be a full class. You know, that would be a lot of attrition, you know, between now and signing day. So you'll probably get in the teens. So, you know, it's the fact that you have these challenges as far as recruiting, it's not as big of a deal for Indiana as it would be this year as it would be in a lot of years. So it's kind of a silver lining and an otherwise obviously downtime. But, you know, they've made the best of it, obviously, and have gotten off to a great start.
Go ahead, DJ. Go ahead, DJ.
I have a question real quick. Regarding the strength and conditioning program, there was a lot of hand-wringing over the loss of Dave Ballou and Dr. Ray, understandably so because of how well those guys are regarded. You know, from your standpoint and from kind of what you've heard or who you've talked to, and I know it's difficult to gauge because players haven't really been able to work with this guy, but Aaron Wellman – and his kind of the building of his staff and how big of a deal do you think it was to nail that hire? Do you think that they did as much as you can tell? And do you think that his connections to the NFL are going to continue to reap major benefits for Indiana. We already saw, you know, a couple of commitments already have mentioned how big of a deal that was for them in their recruitment.
Yeah, I think, I mean, I don't want to say it was the most important hire, but it was definitely up there. And it's obviously Tom Allen's only been in Indiana for a few years, but in his time, this was one of the bigger hires. I mean, you know, getting Kalen DeBoer a year ago was obviously a big one, and this was a big one too. And I, you know, to me, I put strength coach right up there with your coordinators as far as importance. And some people might think that's kind of crazy, but people have to remember the strength coaches spend far more time with these players than anybody else. They're with them around the clock, basically around the calendar year when they're on campus. These are the guys that they interact with the most, and this is where you develop your, you know, your mindset, your culture, and your toughness, and all those things. Obviously, they're getting bigger and stronger, so this is a big hire. I mean, this is a big deal, and I think he absolutely hit it out of the park. You know, I mean, how he compares to Dave Blue. I mean, you know, Aaron Wellman was a coach when Dave Blue was a player. I think a lot of things that Dave Blue, you know, his beliefs, the way he does things, came from learning under guys like Aaron Wellman, and then that three or four years he was in the NFL with the Giants is huge. I mean, let's face it, these guys all want to play in the NFL. They're not all going to, but they go into college with the mindset that that's what they're going to do. And so when you have a guy who's worked with an Odell Beckham Jr. or Brandon Marshall or, Sterling Shepard, all these guys, and just not those guys, those are the guys that were on Twitter tweeting about him, but just all the guys that have been in the NFL, a huge deal. And Cooper Jones straight up told me that Aaron Wellman was one of the biggest reasons why he committed. I mean, Tom Allen was number one and Aaron Wellman was number two, and he hasn't even met him, so that tells you the impact he's had. I talked to Joe Strickland the other day, the 2022 defensive end, who's I think the highest rated, one of the highest rated guys in the state of Indiana in that class, and he said that Aaron Wellman was an absolute home run hire for Indiana. He was very impressed. So it's already, even though they haven't had a chance to get around him, and I knew Aaron a long time ago when I was the manager. He's a great guy. Obviously, that's not changed. I think when they get around him and get to know him personally, they're going to be even more impressed. But it's obviously made a huge impact, even though he's had obviously limited to no, contact. Well, they have no contact with any recruits and limited communication with them, and he's already made, you know, obviously a huge, huge impact so far.
Matt, looking forward, are there who's are you focusing in on now? Any offensive side? This has been a very defensive-heavy class early on. Any offensive guys that IU is looking at to kind of pull the trigger soon?
Well, as far as guys you could pull the trigger soon, you know, I mean, it's hard to say, and it's always kind of hard to say with guys unless they come out and do. You know, some guys will say, you know, my birthday is on May 1st, so I'm going to decide on May 1st, or my mom's birthday is on a date, you know. But now, even with everything that's going on, I mean, like I said, some guys push their decision up. I think you might see more of that. As far as offensive guys, Donovan McCauley, the quarterback from Lawrence North and Indy, four-star, number 3 rated prospect in the state of Indiana. He just released his top 5 and Indiana was in it. He's obviously would be a big time get, you know, 6'5", athletic guy with a big arm, you know, a little bit raw, but just tons of just oozing potential, real high upside. And Indiana's done a great job. I mean, Steve Wiltfong, who's, one of our recruiting guys, just does a phenomenal job for 247. You know, he thinks that Donovan's leaning Indiana right now. Does that mean they'll get him? You know, we'll see, but they've obviously put themselves right there in the driver's seat or right up there at the top for him. Other offensive guys, Joshua Sales from Brownsburg, offensive lineman. I think the departure of Blue was a little bit of a hit for Indiana, but I think that they've kind of come back a little bit. I know Purdue's strong with them. Obviously, Brownsburg is, you know, just down the road there from Lafayette, and I think one of his teammates, Preston Terrell's committed there. So, they're in good shape, but Indiana put themselves in good position there. Another guys in state, can't really think of anybody else offensively. When you start thinking about receivers and guys like that, you'll probably see them. You know, there's been quite a few offers down south, Florida, Georgia, those kind of places. I mean, you know, and they'll continue. I mean, I was just looking before I came on. I was listening to you guys talk, and I mean, of the top 12 guys, Indiana's obviously got four of them, and they've got a great shot with McCauley, with Kyron Montgomery, Joshua Sales, and Austin Booker. I mean, you know, you could come out with three of the top 12. You could come out with seven of the top 12 guys, and I think Benny Feocable, when he gets his ranking from 247, which is supposed to be updated this week, you know, he might slide. I don't know if he'll be in the top 10, but I think he'll probably slide safely into the top dozen or so, or top 15. They're doing a great job. Doesn't mean they're going to get all these guys, but, you know, I didn't think they were going to get Rodney McGraw and Cooper Jones, and those were their first two commits. So, they did a great job there. And I think the success, you know, everybody asked if it was going to pay off in recruiting for 2020. I kind of said probably more like 21 and 22. And, you know, it looks like it's paying off the 8-win season and all the momentum they had on the field.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's definitely.
Speaking of this year's class, the upcoming year's team, added Jovan Swan at grad transfer, and they're still looking for at least one more player that can provide veteran offensive line help, as well as possibly a running back. Is it still, you know, if they can get the right two guys, that they take two more and to be additions for this coming fall? I know that there's a new offer to an offensive lineman from Wofford. They're looking for guys that can, help at tackle, but primarily play guard. Would that be accurate?
Yeah, I think TJ, I think, you know, if you got a guy who was, I mean, I know when they were recruiting Devery Hamilton, the O-tackle from Stanford, who ended up going to Duke, if they got him, they were going to give him a shot to play tackle. And if they felt like he was the best option for this upcoming year, and don't get me wrong, they love Matthew Bedford, but they were going to kick Matthew Bedford inside for a season. You know, that's at least they were going to consider it. I shouldn't say it was a done deal, but that was something that was at least being discussed. Devery Hamilton obviously ended up going to Duke, but you know, ideally, you know, you get a guy who can come in. I mean, it looks like 4/5 of the O line is, you want to say, set in stone, but you feel like, you know, you can make a pretty good prediction that it's going to be the tackles of Caleb Jones and Matthew Bedford, and it looks like Harry Kreider is going to play center this year, and then Dylan Pallett left guard. So you got right guard that's still kind of up in the air. I mean, Mackenzie Norris is an older guy, but, you know, he's never really established himself there. He's played some, struggled in the bowl game against Tennessee when he got a shot to start. Michael Kadick's a young guy who they really like. But if you could get a veteran guy for 1 year to kind of just give Michael Kadick another year to kind of come along and, you know, get his feet wet without throwing him into the fire, that would be great. And then if that guy could also give you depth of tackle, because that's really what something they're looking for. After Aiden Rafferty, you know, there's just not a lot. And he hasn't played a ton. But after him, there's not a lot of, you know, depth of tackle right now, at least that they feel comfortable with playing this year. Luke, you know, Wigginton's a freshman. Luke Haggard, they'd like to redshirt him and not have to use him, the JUCO transfer. So Khalil Benson, another freshman, the young guy, you'd probably like to redshirt and get some seasoning before you throw him out there. So if they could get a guy like Josh Berger, I talked to him, and you know, it sounds like they got a great shot. KJ Wilson out of Hampton, the guy who played tackle, but, you know, you might be able to kick him inside, or if he comes in and you feel better about kicking Matthew Bedford inside for a season, then you could do that. But I think two more guys is very realistic. I've communicated with Chase Hayden, the running back, grad transfer running back from Arkansas, and he told me, now this was about a week and a half ago, that he communicates with Indiana on a daily basis. So, you know, if you're communicating with a guy on a daily basis, then you really like him. So I think he's in Rashad White, JUCO running back I did a story on. He's from out in California. He's from the Kansas City area, but JUCO out in California. So I think ideally if they could add a running back and an O-lineman, then I think they'll definitely do it. I mean, I don't think you're going to reach for a guy, but, you know, with a grad transfer, you know, even if it doesn't work out, it's a one-year deal. It doesn't really kill you scholarship-wise, and at least you have a guy to give you some depth.
All right, Matt, before we get you out of here, it's an impossible question to answer. What are your feelings on this on the season? You know, I asked Coach Allen this a couple weeks ago, was how much time does he need to get his team ready to go out and complete a 12-game schedule. He said they needed June and July to get guys back on campus. But, you know, where do you see this season go? Like, where do you see this season going? Do you have a gut feeling on if they're going to play? Are they going to delay it? I know it's a tough question to answer without all the facts and all that stuff, but what's your gut feeling on the situation right now?
Well, you know, my thing is, you know, obviously you hear some people and there's some things that can be discouraging about how long it'll last. And, you know, people back in March were saying a year to 18 months because that's how long, I'm not a medical person, but I guess that's about the process for a vaccine. And some people are saying that maybe before we have that, before things can get back to a relatively, you know, what we're used to type of lifestyle. You know, I'm going to try to stay optimistic. Hopefully worst case scenario is it's delayed. I mean, obviously the worst case scenario would be that it's canceled or postponed till, I don't know. They are seeing people talk about maybe doing spring of next year or January. Some weird ideas. I don't know how legit they are, but you know, I'm gonna really hope for the best. Because really there's nothing we can't control it. Everybody try to stay safe and healthy. Do your part. Don't try to slow down the spread of this obviously this awful disease, and hopefully we can get it stopped. And I don't know if it'll ever go away for good, but hopefully we can get it to a point where, you know, it's like the flu, where it's just one of those things we get used to, but it's not as big of a deal. It'd be nice if we could just eradicate it completely. But I don't know. I'll keep praying that we have football because it's been rough. I mean, obviously sports is a big part of our fabric as a country and not just us, the world. There's other sports being affected and it's tough, but most important thing is getting everybody safe, you know, trying to get the curve down. Hopefully people, the deaths really slow down because that's been depressing. It's been tough. You know, Buddy Baker, who's been in the news, he's a friend of mine. He lost his parents 6 minutes apart a couple weeks ago, which is just heartbreaking. And so that's the most important thing to me. Let's get everybody safe and healthy, and then we'll try to figure out the sports part. And hopefully it's sooner rather than later. I have hope, but until they tell me we're not playing, I'm going with the mindset that we're going to be playing football starting whatever the first game is, September, whatever that date is, against Wisconsin. Me and Sammy will be road tripping to Madison.
Hopefully. That would be nice. Anyway, Matt, thanks for joining us. TJ, any final questions?
No, I agree with concur with Matt's thoughts there. I want to thank him for hopping on. Him and Mike Pegram did a little Zoom session that's up on peaks.com. I would suggest everybody, you've got a lot of extra time on your hands likely, so hop on to Peaks, get yourself a membership there, and look at that Zoom thing that they did. It appears that that's something that Matt, you and Peaks and Rab Johns and Brian Snow even are going to be doing more of that type of thing here moving forward, because what the hell else are we going to do?
Yeah, I would just say, follow up on TJ. Don't look at the video. Just listen to it because you don't want to see my head. I've got a head for radio, so just listen to it. Hopefully, I don't sound too bad, but try not to look because it might keep you up at night.
All right, thanks, Matt, for joining us. Final thoughts for me, TJ. You know, it stinks that that Madison Norris just couldn't work out. He had a lot of potential with his speed and athleticism and things like that. But hopefully, he finds a home where he can find the field and be successful in what he does. And then also, you know, bringing in Javon Swan, who's, you know, kind of a swing guy on the defensive line, will primarily play three technique. But if there's a package where you could get, a few more defensive ends on the field, he could do that as well. So, that was kind of an announcement that went under the radar with all this news about COVID-19 coming out. But, you know, Indiana, there's been some gains and there's been some losses in terms of the transfer portal. And right now it's, you know, you got two guys coming in over from Stanford who will make the trenches, should make the trenches that much, much bigger. You know, you lose Nathaniel Snyder to, I think it's University of Louisiana, Raging Cajuns down there. And you know, one of Tom Allen's goals last year was to keep his kickoff guys fresh. Schneider, Jared Smoller was, I thought, had a better season than Nathaniel Schneider, but he was still a regular guy on that team and going forward. So we'll see how that plays out on special teams as well. And, you know, it's, we're proceeding as business as usual, TJ. If people want, you know, some fun stories and interacting, we did the bracket and things like that. And, you know, there's so many things that we could do as a group to help people get their minds off of, you know, isolation after day of isolation. So, you know, I encourage people to, you know, send us a text or send us a tweet. Or a message on Facebook, say, hey, we'd love if you guys did this, and, you know, we'll be happy to do it. So hopefully everybody is staying healthy, following the rules, because if we don't follow the rules set in place for people's safety, none of this is going to come back to be normal life. And we really want a college football season just to give somebody else something else to talk about. So, yeah, thanks for joining us, TJ. Hopefully you, Amy, and the kids stay healthy, and all of our listeners, hopefully you and your family are staying healthy as well. And that'll do it for today's podcast. And, you know, soon we'll come up and preview the season as if it was starting on time. And we'll talk about the Pac-12 and the SEC and ACC and all the group of five teams and guys like that. So we can't wait to get started.
Absolutely. Yeah, I you know, I think that it's something that we perhaps, hopefully we never took it for granted, but you know, just the simple pleasures of turning on a, you know, a random NBA game or a you know, a random college football game on a Tuesday night or something. You know, we would you know, give our left arm for something like that right now. So and of course,
oh yeah,
that's what sports is. It's a distraction. It's a diversion. It's a passion of ours and of many of our listeners and Indiana football in particular. And we want to have that back. And the best way to get that back and to keep people safe and to, as you said, you know, flatten that curve and most importantly of all, help our healthcare workers and, you know, help the vulnerable population that, which is all of us, by the way, all of us are vulnerable to this in one form or another. Whether it's ourselves or our parents or our grandparents, you know, make sure that we can just get past this. And the best way to do that is to follow those orders and do what you can to stay home and all that so we can get back to whatever our new normal is going to be as soon as possible. So I just thanks to everybody that's doing that already. And to any healthcare workers that we have listening, thank you very much for your heroism and keep that up. We're thinking of you.
Yeah, healthcare workers, grocery store workers who are putting themselves at risk to keep us keep food on our tables as well. Delivery drivers. I know I've been delivering DoorDash for the last couple weeks. The restaurant people as well, preparing food. Essential workers. You guys are making the world go around still. So thank you for everything that you've done. Well, that does it for tonight's show. If you have any questions or want to talk Indiana football, we're more than happy to engage. Hit us up on Twitter @Hoosier_huddle. Throw us a Facebook message on our group on Facebook. email us at thehoosierhuddle@gmail.com. We're happy to take questions and answer them and get into a discussion. So thank you all for tuning in. Hopefully this provided a little bit of a respite from isolation and things like that, and gives you about 40 minutes of sports talk. So enjoy the rest of your Monday, and hopefully we'll be back soon with more Indiana football news and college football news from around the country.